You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 486. Randall's here as well, and we're going to talk about the upcoming matchup with Wake Forest. Randall, before we jump into that, how are you doing today? Are you doing all right?
I'm doing good. Still excited that Notre Dame is 3-0.
All right. So I guess we'll just jump into it. We do have some questions from Instagram that we wanted to go over. Let's do those questions first, and then we'll get into Brian Kelly had his press conference, and then we'll get into the matchup, what Wake Forest brings, and then our thoughts on the game and our score predictions.
Just a random thing to put out there. It is Wake Forest related. Pete Sampson had tweeted it out, a Google search he did, and then I tried it myself and it was still like that. But if you Google Wake Forest football, and on the homepage, you know, they have players that people Google, like with players from the Wake Forest football team. And right now, their punter, it says Harrison Smith, and it's a picture of Harrison Smith in a Vikings jersey. So, I'm not sure
he's
what's
been
going
moonlighting
on
as a Wake Forest punter?
I guess. But I guess they're trying to take some credit for his amazing play in the NFL, but I don't know where the punting even comes in on that. So,
and I think it might just be on mobile. Here's, on mobile, it shows, yeah. And it's under their roster,
yeah,
as if he would be under their roster.
Yep.
High hopes. Okay. Let's get to those questions. One question from Jerry B25. Why do the Irish struggle defensively against some teams? Notre Dame is giving up 16.7 points per game. Michigan's offense, I don't think, is that great. They haven't really been tested since Notre Dame, but they've put up points against, you know, weak opponents. Ball State was putting up points also against weak opponents, but I don't think my complaint about this team has almost nothing to do defensively. I love the backfield. They're making plays. They're explosive. They're forcing turnovers. The front seven is getting after the quarterback. So I don't think the defense is struggling. I think the defense is playing very well. Of course, if there's any points scored, there is technically room for improvement. But if you look at it just as things, if you look at it just without fandom in mind, just look at it, the Rams playing really good defense.
Yeah, I think I'd almost forgotten about it, but I remember last year's conversation was how it would have been Mike Elko's defense, but it is still, you know, it's since then. His defenses have given up yards. This type of defense has given up yards even last year, but they've made big plays. We saw just this last week how they forced turnovers, and they did it against Ball State. They forced turnovers. And, you know, they might wait till the red zone. They might wait until it's pretty critical, but they have forced turnovers when they needed to. But this defense does give up yards, but it comes down to how many points they give up. And we've seen them, even when they've come into field goal range, they've pushed them out of that sometimes. And so this team, I mean, even looking at last year's schedule, it's not very often that they gave up more than 20 points a game. I mean, they did it 3 times last year.
I remember talking, Randall, about what realistic expectations are for a football fan, and this was, I think, back in the 2015 season. And this is just something I kind of pulled out of thin air, but I think it is close to truth. If your defense is holding the opponents under 20 points per game and is scoring over 35 points per game, like, that's great. If you're scoring more than 35 points per game on average, that is great. If you're holding teams below 20 points per game, that is great.
We said before the defense changed last year, we said if Notre Dame could get down to defensively holding other teams to 20 points, they'd be winning games. And actually they had 4 games last year because Georgia scored 20. But in the last 16 games, Notre Dame has given up more than 20 only, or more than 19 only 4 times. And one of those was 20 points to Georgia, which was a loss. But They are playing. It does feel, when you're watching it, they're giving up yards. It does feel like they're struggling a bit, but they don't give up the points.
Okay. Other question from Pexter24. I don't like the way they are using the two quarterbacks. What are your thoughts? And we talked about this on the recap podcast, and we gave our thoughts at that point. Randall is definitely against it, doesn't like it. And if it works, I'm a fan of it. And I think it can work. So I do think it can work. Randall is not a fan of it and thinks that eventually it's going to cost some points and losses.
I agree. It's never good to be switching quarterbacks in and out. And I don't... One of the arguments right now is, well, we need to get Ian Book in there so that when he is called upon, when he's needed to play, that he's had some playing time, you know, and is ready to go. You don't need to do that. You should be Brandon Wimbush is the starter, and you don't need to bring. You should expect to use him all year. If he's your starter, you don't need to. Ian Book has actually played. I'm not even in favor of bringing Ian Book in just so that he has some playing time, so that when he's needed, he has some reps this year, meaningful reps this year. I'm not in that camp. You pick out your starting quarterback and you stick with it.
All right, so that's where we're definitely on a different mindset here, and I would feel differently if we'd have a franchise quarterback, you know, being the NFL where this is the guy.
That makes it even more critical for Wimbush to get as many reps as possible.
Why? He's only here for
so he can keep one more improving.
Year. Yeah, but a franchise quarterback hopefully is with your team for 10 years.
This is college.
I know, that's what I was saying. In college, as long as you're winning, I don't care how you do it.
Yeah, but it's a hard... You have a hard time winning when you're switching quarterbacks. It's harder.
It's been working. It's been working. LSU, the first...
It's going to cost them
the
yet.
First 3 weeks. Well, we'll see.
It cost Notre Dame against Texas last year.
I agree.
It started out the year. And it could have cost them last week against Vanderbilt.
Against Texas, in my opinion, Zaire should not have been starting or playing, well, I totally playing agree. Like he did. He didn't warrant it.
I'm just saying, again, last week against Vanderbilt... They should have scored. I still think if Wimbush would have stayed in the game in the first drive, they would have scored a touchdown. And it came down to a very close game where that would have that almost mattered. So you keep doing stuff like that, it will matter. It will make a difference at one point, and you're going to regret it.
All right, let's talk about Brian Kelly's press conference. A lot of the questions were, a lot of the comments were about the upcoming matchup with Wake Forest. But some of the things he mentioned, you know, this is a team that wants to run 100 plays if possible. And they had, I believe it was 90 plays last week. Their average...
Wake Forest?
Yeah.
No, they had over 100.
Was it over 100? Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So they run a lot of plays. And Brian Kelly was asked about the rotation, especially on the back end. Are they going to be able to, or do they want to get more of a rotation back there to keep guys fresh? And let's talk about that, because later on in the press conference, he answered a question about keep resting guys or taking snaps away so that they are fresh for the end of the year and the end of the game too, but more about the end of the season. But in this game in particular, Brian Kelly said it is difficult to be subbing in and out because Wake Forest doesn't give you the opportunity in the middle of drives to be able to sub in and out. Big picture, though, and Brian Kelly answered the question like he's not worried about the number. He said he's not worried about the number of snaps guys are getting. They have the rest of their career to rest, and I think he just meant the rest of their lives to rest. They can rest when they're dead. But he did finish it up by saying if they can find spots, they will give snaps to other guys to give the starters a break to keep them fresh.
Well, one of the guys that was really asked about was Drew Tranquil. And he's been playing a lot, and then he's still out there on special teams. And I think everybody's kind of hinting, like, take him off special teams. Well, Brian Kelly, he's saying he isn't worried about it. I doubt that's what he actually thinks. He would probably like to have somebody else.
When he said he wants his best players on special teams, players playing.
But that was kind of the agenda with the question is, why don't you take him off his special? I mean, he needs to be off special teams.
I'm serious. There's going to be some key players that are going down with as many snaps as are being played. Defensively, and also from Brandon Wimbush, too. And I think that is what they're trying to do with Ian Book.
He's just prepping them for the NFL. They're going to play a lot more games and be playing all the reps in the NFL.
Not nearly as many snaps.
Preparing them. Might be.
No. NFL, what, 60 snaps a game?
I don't know.
It's not as much. Some other comments from Brian Kelly. He was asked about Nick Coleman, and he did say it was a coach's decision, but that he's fine and they need him to play on Saturday, and makes it sound like he will be playing on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I have no clue what was going on there, but clearly something happened. And then I guess since we're on the topic of players not playing, Cole Kmet told Brian Kelly that he is going to be ready for Stanford. And so Brian Kelly said, well, that's what they're going to go for right now. And, okay, this brings up, again, players not playing. Dexter Williams. Randall, did you see the tweet that was tweeted out by Jafar Armstrong? Jafar Armstrong tweeted out, when number two returns, it's going to be real life. Sorry, let me get my cadence right. When two returns, it's going to be a real-life movie, just letting you know right now. And then he had mentioned or had was quoting a tweet from Dexter Williams. Dexter Williams had tweeted out almost that time, and then a couple of emojis. And then Dexter Williams also quoted Jafar's tweet and said, you already know what's coming, brother. Time to level up. I don't know. I thought it was interesting that these guys are clearly, it's no secret at all. I'm just surprised it's being discussed on social media, kind of that. I mean, he's coming back. He's obviously not back yet, but he's coming back.
Yeah. Well, and basically everybody's figured it out. I don't think Brian Kelly, I don't know what, it's just something he's not, I don't know if he's not allowed to comment on it, but there's no need to. But everybody's basically picked up on what the suspension is, the four-game suspension and everything. So he was asked about it again in the press conference, and he said they're getting him ready, basically.
He said he's working hard. He's making progress.
I will say this. For a guy that has been out for a few games, Dexter has been one of the more upbeat, active, involved players that I have seen in a long time. I mean, we all saw what happened to Stefferson last year. There was just lackluster, had no interest being there, sitting on the bench by himself. You know, even in practice, he just wasn't even participating. And it's been the opposite for Dexter. He's clearly involved. He's out there celebrating with the team. He's getting excited when the other running backs do something good, and I think that's just going to add so much more. I think he's going to have a big impact when he does come back. So,
all right. That's all that I had notes from the press conference. We do want to talk about Wake Forest, but Randall, was there anything more that you wanted to cover on the press conference?
Kelly mentioned that Alize Mack has best game he's ever played. So he also added that he was getting a lot of cut blocks. He was getting cut a lot, and Brian Kelly said he will say that that's bad football. He says he's not scared to say that that's bad football when they're doing that.
Not illegal, but just bad football.
Yeah. So clearly not impressed with that, but he thought Alize Mack was doing the right thing. And he mentioned he was doing the dirty, unnoticed things versus, you know, trying to make a spectacular catch and whatever. Just one time I want to see Alize Mack make a spectacular catch in the game. It seems like every week there's another picture of him making a one-handed grab or some amazing catch or jump. We never see it. And I'm tired of just seeing it in practice and, like, make one of those on the field just so we can see and have some faith that you can actually do that. But anyways, Brian Kelly's been impressed with what he's been doing.
All right, we're going to talk about Wake Forest, but first we're going to take just a brief break, and we're going to play a little commercial for you. All right, let's talk some Wake Forest football. But first, Randall, you had some quotes from Wake Forest head coach. Do you want to read those for us?
Yeah, Dave Clawson, in his press conference, he made Notre Dame sound really good. It's on the defense, just some quick takeaways. You know, he obviously talked about Coach Lee being on his staff at Bowling Green and Wake Forest, and they do a lot of the same things. And then every one of their linebackers is a senior, and they play like seniors, and they act like seniors. In the secondary, everyone is in their third year in the program. They're playing a lot more man coverage. You can only do that if you feel comfortable with your corners. Up front, they're excellent. They're Notre Dame and get the best of the best. They have all 4- and 5-star guys who look the part. So that's on defense. Every Notre Dame fan would love to have that on defense, all 4- and 5-stars. Then on offense, their quarterback is a freak of an athlete. He can make people miss. He has a strong arm, can throw the ball down the field. They push the ball down the field. He makes some beautiful throws. Their O-line loses to first-round draft picks and are still one of the best in the country. I thought BC's offensive line excellent, but this is another step up. They have 2 excellent running backs, and the receivers look like our defensive ends. Their receivers are 6'4 and 230. And they let those guys go up and box people out and get the ball. They certainly did that to us last year. So clearly, we would all love if Notre Dame looked and acted the part of what he just said. So.
Lots of praise. And I'd rather be going facing a coach and players that are being arrogant and talking about how, you know, playing Notre Dame is nothing. They play these kind of opponents every week.
Yeah.
And going into Notre Dame, obviously this isn't at Notre Dame, but going to Notre Dame Stadium is nothing, kind of what Vanderbilt was saying earlier. But a lot of respect from Wake Forest towards Notre Dame, and Notre Dame's definitely had the best of them the last while.
Last year was not that great, though. Do you remember the score from last year? They almost beat Notre Dame.
It was like 43-37. I mean,
it wasn't that close, but I had it right here. It wasn't that close. The final score made it look like that, but in reality, it wasn't that close. Yeah, it was. Seriously, I hate the ESPN webpage.
Here it was 37-48.
No, 48-37.
What, did I say 38-47?
It sounded
weird. Either way, yeah. Notre Dame,
48-37.
48-37, Notre Dame was victorious.
Yeah. They moved the ball well, but this is a different team than last year. They have a different quarterback. Their one receiver did put up big numbers against Notre Dame, and he is still there. So
They primarily have one big weapon when it comes out of the receiver group. And he's averaging Greg Dortch. He's a freshman, but he's averaging. He's not a freshman. He's a sophomore, but he has 28 receptions on the season. He's averaging about 9 per game, and Miles Boykin has 8 for the season. So that goes to show you, just they have a weapon. They have a clear number one wide receiver they go to, and he's going to be looked at a lot on Saturday.
Yeah, he is a big weapon, but the difference is, I mean, he got a lot of yards against Notre Dame last year, but the difference is last year he had a 4-year starter in John Wolford as quarterback, and this year he has a freshman, Sam Hartman, as the quarterback. Kendall Hinton was the backup quarterback last year, and he was actually suspended for 3 games, and he's coming back. He is eligible for this game, but it sounds like he will be the backup to Sam Hartman. But Brian Kelly talked about it as well. They're kind of expecting to see him at some point in the game. There was a competition in camp, and they're saying that Hartman won, but you know, they also knew that Hinton was suspended, so who knows what actually happened there. But there's a chance they might see 2 quarterbacks in this game. But the freshman has been doing a good job moving the ball. I mean, clearly running over 100 plays in a game, you got to know what you're doing out there. So, and they're moving faster. I mean, Brian Kelly talked about it, you know, like last year with John Wolford, they slowed things down because they trusted him to make reads and do things. And this year, you know, with a freshman, they're not making as many reads on the line, and they're just going with what they're calling. And so that's why they are playing a lot faster than what they would have, you know, in the last few years. The one issue they do have is they can move the ball, but they've had quite a few turnovers. They've had 7 turnovers, and one of the issues that the coaching staff has is they keep turning the ball over in the red zone. And that plays into Notre Dame's hand because that's where Notre Dame has stepped up and forced turnovers. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely in favor of Notre Dame. They're going to be trying to force turnovers. But then it's here. I don't think it's really going to make a difference, but yet they, Notre Dame and Wake Forest, their defenses kind of interact. They both kind of know what the other team runs in a defense because of Mike Elko and Clark Lee. And Brian Kelly said, you know, Clark Lee can help them with some things, but this defense is, you know, it's not the same defense that he helped run there. But the basics are there, and so both teams kind of know what the other defense is bringing.
Brian Kelly talked about this is the first team they have film on. Was he talking about this is the first offense that they have film on?
He said no. He said this is the first thing that they have
from this
multiple
season.
games from this season. Because I thought, clearly they had none against Michigan.
Well, yeah.
For this season,
and they also had a new offense. So I thought,
yeah,
okay.
He just meant on this season. I mean, so far going into the games, they haven't had much film on the opposing team, and you know they got a good idea on what to expect from last year. But it is still early. Every team has that issue at the beginning of the year. But maybe this can help make a difference. I mean, we saw last year how often the defense, on some of those turnovers, where after the game the defensive players would talk about how they knew that play was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe we can start seeing some more of that where they can take advantage. They did a great job of it last year under Mike Elko, and hopefully this year with the defense they can kind of see what happened. And with a freshman quarterback, it's a little bit easier, you know. I mean, with a first-year quarterback, it's always, you know, he tends to stare down receivers a little bit more, or he still doesn't have everything figured out, and so having film on him, they can maybe anticipate some of the things that he's going to be trying to do in this game.
All right, a big thing that allows success for their up-tempo style is when they convert third downs, and they have converted a lot of third downs.
Is it 6 of 7? Was that the total for the Brian Kelly had thrown that out there as third down conversion?
Well, on the season,
I think it's just the last game.
They're converting 43, actually almost 44% of their third downs. However, they played two cupcake teams, and last week against their first ACC opponent, they only converted 23%. So that dropped to about half of what it was. They were at about 50 to 60%, and then they were at 22, 23%. This defense, this team's numbers are skewed. Their efficiency is skewed. They gave up 41 points to Boston College. I'm sorry. Notre Dame, the spread in this game is only 8 points. It should be 16 points.
Man, you're feeling good about this again. That's good to hear.
I know you'd think I learned my lesson, but I just can't. I think this Wake Forest team is a joke. I don't think they're for real.
Well, yeah, they did lose last week, and it is in their house. But the 6 or 7, that was on fourth down. That's what they're converting, quite a few fourth downs. When they go for it on fourth down, they are converting. But what you're saying, yeah, I mean, the big thing in their favor is that it's at Wake Forest. Notre Dame is having their first road game. And, you know,
it's also
we haven't seen Notre Dame on the road this year yet.
And it's also at noon,
but,
which I don't think is going to be a huge factor, but it is different.
Yeah. I think, though, as far as being on the road, I think it's good for Notre Dame just to change the scenery and just something different. They're not at home. They're getting out on the road. They've been around Notre Dame for fall. Obviously, they went to Culver, but they've been there for fall camp, and now for 3 straight weeks for the game, they've been at Notre Dame, and I think it'll be good for them to get away and play an away game.
I agree,
and it's a good time to do it against Wake Forest before instead of trying to do it against some of the other big games they have coming up.
All right, Randall, are you ready to give your final thoughts and your score prediction?
Yeah. I think I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, Notre Dame, I think, is going to keep improving. And with the struggles that Wake Forest has in the red zone, you know, they are going to move the ball. I think they will. But we'll see more of the same. You know, Notre Dame giving up some yardage, but then making a play when it needs to be made. And I just think this whole team continues to improve. And like we mentioned on Monday's podcast about all the small things that could drastically change this game, I think they're not going to get all of them right, all the small. There's still going to be some small mistakes, but they're going to get more of them right than what they did last week against Vanderbilt. One good thing, their left tackle, they had a good left out. He's out, and so I think that's going to help with Notre Dame trying to get some pressure on the quarterback. And he's a freshman, so it'll be fun to watch. Instead of these, Notre Dame's been playing good quarterbacks that have had experience. And with each of those quarterbacks, all 3 weeks, even Michigan, Shea Patterson, all these guys are potential NFL guys, according to a lot of people. Here they're going against a freshman, and I think it's time that they're able to force some mistakes, and they're going to get some turnovers in this game. I'm going to say they're going to have at least 2 interceptions in this game. And once again, Notre Dame keeps improving on offense. I hope to see more of Tony Jones, what he did last week. And the wide receivers all know they need to step up their game. They know that, and so I think they're going to step it up. My final score, I'm still going to keep – I think Wake Forest is going to score some points, but I don't think they get over the 20. I'm going with Notre Dame 30, Wake Forest 17.
Randall, you mentioned pressure a few times throughout your talk, and I agree. Pressure is going to be a key to this next week's performance, but it's pressure in a different area. Pressure from competition. Chase Claypool, Miles Boykin, have witnessed last week that some of these younger receivers are going to get playing time if they don't step up. I think that pressure is good. I think Tony Jones Jr., a reason that he is performing better is partly because of pressure from Jafar Armstrong and Dexter Williams, who's going to be coming back in a few games.
Yeah.
Because of the added pressure, I do think that there will be some extra motivation for guys to step up, especially at the wide receiver group. I don't think that they're super dynamic because they just haven't showed it, but they're better than what they've been playing. And I think we'll finally see some big plays. It's just time for some big plays out of the passing game. We didn't see any big passing plays last week for sure. I mean, there obviously was the big one against Michigan from Fink, but I do think we'll finally see some big passing plays. And then also third down, we talked about that. But this Wake Forest third down conversion rate is overhyped. And even though they did convert a lot of fourth downs last week, when Notre Dame stops guys on third down, it's often because they're getting a TFL. And so that just puts them out of that takes the option of going for it on fourth down out of mind.
I like that.
I'm being a little bit cocky. I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek. Anyway, my final score prediction, I think Notre Dame holds Wake Forest to a new low for the season. I think they hold them to 14 points. I think Notre Dame goes over the 30-point mark and finishes up at 38. So I'm going big win, 38-14.
Wow.
I think Wake Forest, what it comes down to, I think Notre Dame will continue to get a little bit better. I do think, like I said, the added pressure from guys that are behind them that have started playing is going to be some added motivation. Like I said, Wake Forest, not all they're cracked up to be at 2-1. If Boston College is able to put up 41 points against this team, then Notre Dame better be able to put up, mid-30s. So there you have it. Be sure to tweet out your score prediction on Saturday, and we'll tweet out a reminder for you. And whoever wins will get a pound of coffee, a coupon for a pound of coffee from MainStreetRoasters.com. It is locally roasted here in Napanee, Indiana. It's my favorite coffee, my coffee of choice, and my coffee shop of choice as well. And it could be yours for free if you're wise or lucky enough to win the score prediction contest.
And had you mentioned who won last? We didn't do that on Monday.
I didn't. I did send his coupon code, however, and I guess I didn't mention pound of coffee and an Irish Sports Talk mug. But yes, the winner for Notre Dame's win over Vanderbilt was, let me make sure I spell it right, I think it was Seth or S. Touter for his score prediction. That was actually the second time he won. He also won in 2017. All right, Randall, anything more from you?
I don't think so. I'll be doing a preview with a guy from Wake Forest. We actually had him on last year as well. But I'll be doing a preview, hear a little more about their team and kind of what they're expecting going into this game. So,
all right. Thank you guys for listening. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.